The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Prior to investing, please read the investment's prospectus carefully. The prospectus contains information about the investment, including the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Orders for the purchase or sale of securities or other investment products cannot be accepted by email. The information contained in this communication is not tax, accounting, or regulatory advice. Please consult your advisor as to any tax, accounting, or legal statements made herein. Subject to applicable law, all electronic communications are monitored, reviewed, and electronically archived and may be subject to review and or disclosure to third parties in certain circumstances. The views and opinions expressed herein do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of SCF Securities, Inc. or any SCF-related entity. Women face many financial decisions throughout their lives. You may be getting married or divorced, changing careers, or getting ready to retire. There are also plans that need to be made for family and loss of a spouse or other loved ones. Welcome to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Your host is Darlene Gilmore. In our show, we'll give you some proven advice designed to assist you with these financial decisions. Now, here is Darlene.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Happy April. We are here today, Darlene Gilmore, the host of Women Be Wise, and we're talking about the giving prescription. And we talk about many people live their lives as though this is a finite world of energy, time, and money. And as a result, we hold on tightly to both our time and possessions, fearing that by sharing, we might find ourselves lacking what we need in the future. But our guest, Courtney Clark, will share with us how using helping behaviors like volunteering, donating, and advocating to help others can transform our own lives. Courtney calls herself the luckiest unlucky person in the world. At age 26, she beat melanoma, but 5 years post-cancer routine follow-up scans detected an aneurysm in her brain that was close to hemorrhaging. So today, Courtney builds resilience in teams and individuals who need to handle change and challenge without resentment. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're certainly welcome. So your book, The Giving Prescription, with the subtitle, A Personal Plan for Healing Through Helping, is pretty awesome. What made you or inspired you to write the book?
Thank you. Well, so I was working in the nonprofit world. It was one of several careers that I've had. And in fact, I was running a nonprofit that I had started. So I went back to school to get my master's degree in philanthropy. And we were trying to choose what we were going to research for our thesis. And I had chosen something that pertained to my current nonprofit situation. And I was liking the research. But then one night, in the middle of the night in grad school, I woke up with this realization that I was missing the opportunity to combine two things that I love. Because I didn't just love the world of nonprofit and philanthropy. I also loved the world of survivorship, having been a cancer survivor and having survived my brain aneurysm right before I started grad school. And I realized that there was a way that these two worlds overlapped, and I didn't have to be studying one or the other. Because what I realized is that those of us who have survived something traumatic seem to be really compelled to give back. And I wanted to know more about why is that? Why do people who've been through a struggle want to give back maybe more than other people feel compelled to do? Is it the right thing to do? Is there a right way to do it, a right time to do it, a right place to do it? So I started doing that research in graduate school and applying that to the world, the field of philanthropy. But I realized that, of course, also had an application to real people. And I wanted to get it out there in a format that would work for those people who are going through something and struggling and help give them a model for how they could progress through healing using giving back to other people.
And I think what people end up finding if they go through something traumatic, be it health-wise or financial, whatever, is they discover that the world is bigger than them and it's not just about them. And perhaps that's why they have this give it back attitude. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, that's one motivation for sure. And also, for a lot of people, and I was one of them, I had been someone who had volunteered and given back, and I had never been on the receiving end until my life changed and I was struggling. So I also think a lot of people who've been fairly lucky in life and had a lot to give, they've never been the recipients of anybody else giving time or money or anything to them. And then all of a sudden, you need help. And you see that other people are so willing to give, and you realize that you have that to give too.
That's terrific. There was a lady, I listened to talk radio, and they were talking about people on welfare yesterday. And she called in and she said that she used to really snub her nose at those people that were using food stamps and those things until she became ill, and therefore she needed the service. And she got a whole different perspective then of people that were using the service. There's still people abusing it, but of course now she has a better understanding. So that's what's happening to all of us as we go through our peaks and valleys, I imagine.
That's right. It becomes personal to you. And so there are a lot of reasons why people end up getting involved, giving back. But the main thing that the research uncovered is that giving back isn't just good for you because it's kind of this feel good, somebody helped me, so I'll do something for other people. It turns out that it has this power that goes so much deeper, and that it actually physically, physiologically, psychologically, and sometimes even practically has benefits for the giver.
That's right. That's right. So that's really where we want to take this, is understanding the power of giving, what the benefit is not only to other people, but what it is to you. I think one of the words that you talked about yesterday was it gives people a purpose.
That's absolutely one of the benefits of giving back, is you feel like you have a purpose. And maybe sometimes you're not feeling like you have a purpose. Maybe your job isn't providing the purpose in your life that you thought it was going to provide. Or maybe because you're struggling through something difficult right now, you just aren't going, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And giving back to other people gives you a purpose. Another thing that giving back to other people gets you is personal power. And that seems like a strange thing to think about, but for all of us, we go through this life and our goal is that we learn and we become smarter and we become more powerful. And I don't just mean power like we're the CEO of a company, but that we have a personal power. And I really discovered what a toll it can take on you as an individual when you lose that power after I had a brain aneurysm and I had a craniotomy. And up to that point, I had been a successful 31-year-old woman. I was newly married. I was running my own business. And I thought, oh, man, I am just rocking this life. I'm so cool. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself. And it's a little bit humbling to have everything.
And sometimes that's what we need, isn't it? To be humbled a little bit in order to be able to see what it is that the higher power, if you will, is planned for us.
That's right. That's exactly right. When you are humbled, it actually gives you opportunities in the future when you get that power back because you have a different perspective.
That's
now
right.
You've been on both sides of the equation. You've been high and you've been low, and you can see things from all sides. And so I am grateful for that. But it was good to get my power back so that I felt capable of running my business and felt capable of building my life. And it was amazing to realize that when I was giving back to other people, that's where I first felt at my most powerful after the brain aneurysm.
And one of the things that you've been able to do is not just to give back yourself, but to teach others to do the same. Talk a little bit about the Austin Involve nonprofit.
Right. So I started working. I've been a volunteer for my whole life. I was taught by my mom and she was taught by her mom. And it's always been really important to me. And then when I was in my early 20s, I started working in the nonprofit world. And I had worked for several different nonprofits when I had this realization. I was sick of being asked by my fellow peers in my 20s, gosh, Courtney, you give back so much. I'd love to do that, but I don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of money. I just don't know where I would start. And I got sick of hearing that over and over. And I said, you know, what we need is a model where people can enter at a low level and give small amounts of time and money. So I created a model for giving where young professionals could give $25 a month. It just auto-debited right out of their account. They never had to worry about it. And it was a small enough amount that they didn't really miss it. But by the end of the year, they had given $300. And every month, that $25 would come out of their bank account. They would get the opportunity to vote on what nonprofit we were going to support that month. Everybody's $25 goes into the pot, and then the winning nonprofit got that whole pot of money and our time on a 3-hour service project. So you had young professionals who'd never given, and they were actually not just giving some money, not just giving some time, but really making a choice and making an investment, because they would then follow that money and they would go to the nonprofit and they would see how their money was being used. So that was really the first time anybody had ever asked them to invest in their own community. And it was incredibly powerful.
And I imagine when you think about it, most people, when you say, can you donate $300 to this charity? It's like, no, I don't have that money. But of exactly. course, when you break it up into small pieces and at the end of the year, it's like, wow, look what I've done.
Well, particularly when you're 24, you're thinking, like, I don't have an extra $300 lying around.
That's right.
But if you start at that low level, then what we did was we created a whole new group of people to invest in our community in Austin, Texas. And it can really be done in any community, and it should be done in every community, that you grow people through their lifetime. Because it can seem like a big barrier to entry to get into the nonprofit world. But it's really very much worth it. It's a great place to cultivate leadership skills and get connected to the community. It needs to be done, and yet people keep making excuses for putting it off. They say, oh, you know, someday when I have more money, I'll do this. When my kids go off to school, I'll do this. Oh, when I'm retired, I'll do this. And then they've never gotten into the habit of doing it. And they never did. When you start little and you start young, then it just is part of the fabric of your life. This is how we're going to get business owners someday who all have that culture of giving built into their business, because we're going to groom them at a young age to realize that it's a good investment in the community and it's great for their business and for them too.
That's awesome. So it really helps them to start a trend, and what you're doing is grooming our future toward this giving principle so that it can be built into all those businesses, and other nonprofits perhaps will be created out of, as a result of it, but certainly the nonprofits will benefit. And the idea that if we as individuals give, then there's not so much reliance on the government, because we all need to support these various charities and the people that benefit from them. When we get back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the benefits you were talking about creating community and the leadership skills and that kind of thing. We'll talk about that when we get back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over 3 decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534. We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Game-changing technologies and strategies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up your status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take your coffee break with Game Changers on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time for our special series on the future of business. Learn how you can become the transformational leader who takes your company across the finish line as you look ahead to the next breakthrough wave of innovation. The Future of Business with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to darlene@women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. We are Darlene Gilmore, the host of Women Be Wise. We have with us Courtney Clark. She's a speaker, she's a survivor, and she's an optimist. And she is the author of The Giving Prescription, A Personal Plan for Healing Through Helping. And we're talking about how giving can really open up the world for you and help you in so many different ways and help you to receive. Courtney, before we went to break, we were talking about what some of the benefits are of being able to give. Let's expound on that a little bit.
Well, one of the coolest benefits for me is personal connections. One thing that I found when I started giving back is I met people who were like me. You meet like-minded individuals who care about the things that you care about, who are willing to spend their time and their money giving to the same things that I'm willing to give to. And that, there's something incredibly powerful in that. And also, the research in my book, The Giving Prescription, showed that people who gave back also noticed an increase in connections between themselves and their current network, so their friends, their family. When they were giving back and they involved their friends and family in the giving, it deepened the personal connections that they already had because they were experiencing something pretty profound together. So that's a huge benefit of giving back. When you can involve other people and meet other people, you're building a new network and you're deepening the networks that you already have.
I imagine that with on the personal connection in the family and those various personal contacts, they actually discover something about each other that they didn't know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You may find that you look at your family in a new way. If you involve your teenagers, that you look at them through new eyes. I know the first time I ever saw my teenage son volunteer was pretty amazing. And I'm looking at him playing with these little tiny kids. And I was so, so proud watching him be a leader. I knew he was a leader. I had just never seen it in action before.
Right. So that's pretty awesome. Now, we had talked about ways to give. And we talked about our time, our talent, and our treasure. And oftentimes, people really get hung up in, I don't have the money. And you've talked about that a little bit earlier. But let's really get into the depth of how we can give in those different ways and then build on that to move to the next level.
Right. You don't only have to give with money. That may be one of the first ways we think about because we get a letter in the mail all the time asking for money, but that's not the only way to give. So really the three big T's are time, talent, and treasure. And my favorite thing to do is combine all of them. Even if it's just a small amount of time because you're really, really busy, or it's just a small amount of money because you don't have a lot, you build your percentage-wise. Maybe it's 80% talent, 10% time, and 10% treasure. That's okay, too. Everybody's pie chart looks different. But groups have a need for all of them. And the time piece is obvious. That's your volunteer service and the treasure. Those are your financial gifts, which, by the way, if you feel like, well, I still don't have a lot of money, that also means you introduce friends who might have your same passion. You can introduce them to the organization and ask them to give. You're still helping something that you believe in get financially funded. You just don't necessarily always have to be writing the check yourself. And that
That's right.
treasure piece, you know, no nonprofit can operate just on volunteer hours alone. They all need some funding. So any little bit, I tell people, that really helps them. And again, it's still good for you. And the talent piece, a lot of people don't think about. But particularly if you're building your career, if you're focused on your business right now, there are ways you can give that use your talents to give back. You could design a website for an organization if that's a talent that you have. You could help them build a marketing plan. You could help them run an event. Use the talents that you have in a creative way on behalf of the nonprofit. And that's a really rewarding thing for a lot of people to do, is to see how their talent can be used to make their community better.
That's good. And one of the things I was thinking about, and you kind of led to that, is one of the things I tend to do is I help put together golf tournaments, charitable golf tournaments that will create funds for various charities. So the talent is helping to put that together. I don't have to come up with a lot of treasure because I'm creating that for them through
That's
the
right.
golf tournaments, but I'm putting in a lot of time to do that as well.
That's exactly right. That's a great combination. When you have a knowledge base that they maybe don't have somebody on staff, they can afford to pay somebody with a really specific knowledge base, then you can step in and that can be your gift. So
that's right.
Time, talent, and treasure, there is something that everybody can do to enrich their lives and do something good for their community. I promise you it's out there.
And then we open ourselves to receive time, talent, and treasure from other people.
That's exactly right. So when we're interacting with other people in that way, when we found other like-minded people, you'd be amazed at the connections that happen. We were just talking about personal connections. When I was writing the giving prescription and I was coming up with those benefits, I'm looking at the research and going, oh, they fall into several categories. We've got personal connections. We've got personal power. There's one called the helper's high. When you give, your body actually releases endorphins and it makes you feel good. And there was one, and my editor said, I don't think we should put that in the book because it's so tactical and the others are a little bit more psychological. We should just get rid of the one that says practical benefits. And I said, well, I don't want to do that because some people are practical. And there may be
right.
somebody listening right now who says, oh, I don't know, all that feel good, personal connections, those aren't really good, compelling reasons enough for me to give back. What do you got? I will tell you that research found several practical benefits of giving back, like networking with other people. I used to teach, I often would come and guest lecture at a college course, and a lot of these kids all had the same resume, and they'd go, how can I get a job out of college? And I looked at all these resumes and I thought, you're all competing with each other because your resumes look identical. Go out and volunteer for something you're passionate about and you'll get great real world experience that's going to differentiate you from everybody else. Or you're going to be able to network with people who are already doing that job, maybe somebody at a company you want to work for. And that applies to college kids who are trying to get their first job, but it really applies to all of us. We know that we're more likely to get a job or to advance or just be offered a job, even if we don't want to take it, when we know people, right? That
right.
is where job offers come from. And when you expand your network in a new way, using the community, using your nonprofit service, you are going to meet people who are leaders in all areas of the community, and you're going to have a chance to dazzle them. So I have found that when people start getting involved in nonprofits, they get these personal benefits, like they network and they get job offers and they just know more people. So there are some really practical benefits to giving back as well.
You said one key word is find something that you're passionate about. And I think that is so powerful. If I use myself an example again, is I love golf. So where I donate my time is with the First Tee. So I'm a mentor with the First Tee. And that's where I help them to raise money, and I'm working with the children. And so if people find what they're passionate about, then you love to do it. It's not a chore. And that's really where some people are trying to force themselves to be charitable, but they're just looking at it the wrong way. They need to just find something they like to do.
That's right. If you don't love it, you're not going to get all of these benefits. You're not going to feel connected. You're not going to see your personal power shift. You're not going to meet these like-minded people and network based on a shared passion. So that's the first step, is to feel passion about something. And to get excited about it. What can you change? Because when you make the community better, it helps everyone. It helps you too, because then you live in a stronger community.
That's right. That's awesome. So we talked a little bit about when you're falling down, and we all have challenges in our lives that we'll face. And the question is, how do you get back up? And you had used the phrase post-traumatic growth. Can you expound on that?
Absolutely. So in the research for the giving prescription, the thing that jumped out at me from those of us who have been struggling through something difficult is that some people get knocked down and they have a really hard time getting back up. Some people, they talk about resilience and recovery, and that's where you hit rock bottom, but you bounce back to where you were before. But what was surprising to a lot of the researchers is that many people who had been through a stressful time hit rock bottom, bounced back up, and went even past where they were before, and that then following whatever the trauma or the stressor was, they actually had a richer life, a fuller life. They learned something, and that's called post-traumatic growth. It's the opposite of the post-traumatic stress that we're familiar with after somebody goes through something traumatic. But there's actually such a thing as post-traumatic growth, and that means that you grow even stronger, even better after something difficult. And that actually occurs a lot more often than you might think. There are real benefits to struggling through something difficult, and it gives you perspective. It connects you to other people. Maybe it gives you that sense of purpose that you might have been lacking in your life. But there's incredible power in going through something like that.
So I think what it's saying is we can have a pity party, or we can say, what is going to be the lesson I'm going to learn from this circumstance? And if you can take that lesson, then you will grow exponentially beyond where you were before because of that.
Exactly right. And look, I am the last person to judge a pity party. Sometimes we need a pity party. And I know that I had one myself after my brain surgery. I was in the worst pain of my life, and so bad that I was hallucinating demons standing by my bedside. And I had a couple days where I thought, I shouldn't have had this surgery. I should have just waited to die. This is the most pain I've ever experienced in my life. It was my lowest point. And I'm a little bit embarrassed when I tell people about saying that I wished I could die, because I am the most grateful person to be alive after everything that I've been through. But having had that pity party for a few days actually doesn't preclude that post-traumatic growth happening. So if you're in a pity party mode, nobody is judging you. But keep your eye on the prize, because post-traumatic growth is possible for everybody. And what it really requires is that you then start asking questions of yourself, like, take the question, why did this happen to me? That's a pity party question.
Right.
Turn it on its head and say, why did this happen in my life? What am I supposed to learn from this? What can I take from this? What can happen for me after this? So start getting future focused instead of past focused. And that will help put you on the road to recovery and hopefully even beyond recovery to that growth that you're looking for. But I just want anybody who might be feeling in pity party mode to know, I don't judge you, but let's get out of that pity party, take the party hat off, and move forward.
And I think it's powerful for you to have that as a testimony, because some people need to know that people that have really accomplished something actually had some of the experiences that they have. So I think it's powerful for you to be able to say you had your own pity party as well, because that helps the rest of us to say, oh, okay, so it is possible to have that and move on to the next level and get out of it. When we come back from break, you touched on something I wanted to talk about, was the promise of the future. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. Cheryl White, Linda Shube, Gerald McFadden, Andre Howard, Tom Wall, and Rihanna Absar? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534. Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually five short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Darlene Gilmore, the host of Women Be Wise. We would really like to encourage you to call in with comments or questions. Again, you can call in at 1-866-472-5790. And we are talking about the giving prescription with Courtney Clark. And we're talking about how in giving and volunteering and donating your time, treasure, and talent, how that can actually help you to get out of whatever situation you're in and move on to the next level. One of her quotes is, it's about how you deal, not what you're dealt. And I think that's a terrific quote. So Courtney, let's continue our conversation. We were going to talk about how after the post-traumatic growth, then we tend to shift our focus and we'll talk about what the future brings us.
Yeah, it's amazing when you have that perspective shift, what changes in your life. For me, I had been working in nonprofit for a lot of my life. I had started a nonprofit and was running it, and I had this realization that I wanted to share my story and help other people share their stories beyond the sphere of the nonprofit world, to talk to people who had been struggling through something. And I also had the realization that my story of what I went through didn't just apply to people who had survived cancer. It's so interesting, isn't it, when you start to talk to anybody in the real world, you realize what you have in common. And what I was realizing that I had in common with other people, I didn't just have something in common with cancer survivors. I had something in common with everybody, because we've all struggled. We've all had that moment where we feel like we're just being pushed back down the mountain, and no matter how hard we scrabble, we can't get back up. And it may look different for different people, but we've all been there. And I got really passionate about talking about what that struggle looks like and how do we struggle smart instead of struggling stupid. And so now I am an author and a speaker and a trainer, but that required a full career shift because I've been in the nonprofit world for a long time and I was running this nonprofit. So, you know, I know, darling, you know, shifting careers can be a really scary time.
That's right.
So
I like that phrase you use, struggle smart instead of struggle stupid. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to struggle.
Yes.
It's just a fact of life. We're all going to struggle. And so we have to figure out what are the elements of a smart struggle so we can do that instead of just keep grabbing at dirt that keeps pulling away underneath our fingernails. But at the same time, I had this nonprofit that I was really passionate about. And one of the things I realized about myself in the process of launching a nonprofit is that I am really good at starting something and building something. I'm really good at coming up with an idea that solves a problem and getting people talking about it and rallied around the cause. I love building community. But I had to be honest with myself, and I am not a detail person, a replicability and sustainability person. And I took a hard look in the mirror and said, you're not good at that. And if you leave this nonprofit in your own hands, it's going to falter because you just don't have the skills and abilities. And it's hard because when you're a young professional and you achieve some success, you kind of think, oh, I can do anything. I have to do everything because people think I'm so cool and so awesome and I've accomplished all this stuff and I should be able to accomplish anything. But I reached a point where I couldn't lie to myself, and I realized that it deserved more than just me. So I merged the nonprofit with a larger nonprofit to give it that sustainability component. It was really hard to put it in somebody else's hands who necessarily wouldn't make all the decisions that I would make. But I knew it was the right thing to do for the nonprofit, and then I realized that that left me free to do something new, and that's where I started to pursue my passion of talking to people about resilience and how do we handle change and challenge and what things can we do to build ourselves back up.
And that's so powerful because many people are thinking of growth where they are, and it may mean there needs to be a major shift like you did to go in a slightly different direction. It's still tapping into what you're passionate about, but it's being shown and it shows up in a different way. And that's where we really need to look in the mirror and determine who we are as a person and what we're passionate about and basically what we're best at. Like you did that self-assessment.
Well, one of my best tips for people who are saying, oh, I feel really burned out. I'm burned out. I'm stressed. What do I do? One of the things that I tell people is, stop thinking so much with your logical mind, right? Our logical mind is really linear, and it goes, well, what do I do tomorrow? What is the next step after that? How do I get through this meeting? How do I please this client? And if we really want to be resilient, one of the things we need to learn how to do is unhitch that logical brain that thinks in such a linear fashion. And you can project 5 years in the future. Start daydreaming. That's a great way to clue in your creative problem solving. My parents used to get on me all the time as a kid for being a daydreamer. But it turns out that's one of the reasons I'm really resilient, is because I have that ability to not think in such a linear fashion. And when you project 5 years in the future, or you daydream, and you disengage that linear model, then you get the benefit of a creative problem solving that you would not have otherwise had.
That's really good. And then how do you get the courage to go off in that direction?
Well, it can come from a lot of different things. I mean, in my case, I knew that if I didn't merge this business with another business and start my own thing, then I would be doing the organization I had started a disservice. And ultimately, I wouldn't be really happy because I would be doing something that I wasn't very good at. For other people, you know, courage might come from looking at their family and saying, I can't keep doing this to them. Or courage might come from looking at something that's lacking. This is so great. A client of mine was telling me a story about one of their employees, and they allow their employees to participate in different outside groups, like a women's leadership group or a young leadership group. And as part of her leadership group, they were doing research on different things they were passionate about. She became really passionate about how do we encourage young women coming out of college to study this career path that this particular business is in. How do we attract more young women? And she did some really revealing research about why young women weren't being attracted to this field and what could be done about it. And when her research was over and she presented it to her company, they created a new position at the company and gave it to her. So she stayed at her same company, but she created a job for herself that she didn't even know at the time she was doing this research was going to be created. She just thought she was setting out to solve a problem and find some answers. And she ended up creating a whole new career for herself, but she didn't even have to leave the comfort of her own business. So you don't always have to decide, well, I certainly can't get what I'm looking for where I am right now, but you can actually make what seems like a sea change without leaving the desk you're sitting in right now.
So that old adage, find a need and fill it, works really well wherever you are, because many people are on their jobs and they all have some solutions for problems that they have at work. And perhaps that is a way they can tap into their creative power and what they're passionate about, just like this young lady did, to help solve that problem at where they're sitting right now.
Exactly right. There's a whole spectrum, and you can do what I did and start something completely new from scratch, or you can fix a problem that needs fixing right where you're currently sitting, but it might lead to a totally different job for you and one that's based around a passion that you found.
And I think one of the books I was reading really focuses on that all of us need to have somewhat of an entrepreneurial spirit, whether we're working for someone or we have our own business. But when you're working for someone, if you think about where you're working from an entrepreneurial perspective, then you open and see different things around the company and you can discover different areas that maybe you can help that company change or grow or do whatever it is that would be beneficial to the company, which of course will work its way back to benefiting you as it did that young lady.
Exactly. My very first job out of college, in fact, I sat down at a meeting and two different sectors of the business, it was a small company, but two different arms who do two different things but have to work together were fighting. And apparently they always fought, but this was my first week on the job and I didn't know. And it was so obvious to me as a new, brand new observer that it was only a communication issue and nothing else. There was a problem with the reporting, and it wasn't happening in a consistent way, nor was it happening in a consistent time. And they couldn't see it because they were too close to the issue. And right. I left that meeting. I didn't say anything. I didn't speak up as the newbie, but I did a little research just for the day, not a whole research month, just for the day. And I came up with a suggestion for some new ways and times to report that would eliminate that problem. And I sent it to my boss, and to this day, my understanding is the company still uses that reporting method so that all the different arms of the company are looped in and that big communication gap doesn't happen anymore.
That's terrific. So when we come back, let's maybe give some practical tips on how people can get started on this last segment, either through work or individually, of benefiting from this giving principle, this giving prescription. And we'll close with that and work toward that, give them some homework assignment, so to speak, on what they can go out and look for.
Wonderful.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author, working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Great leaders today have certain capabilities that set them apart. These leaders have discovered transformational leadership. Now, you can discover the same ideas, insights, and programs that have led them to success. Inside Transformational Leadership, hosted by Kate Ebner, is produced by Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. We'll explore these stories and concepts every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Darlene Gilmore has been in the financial industry for over three decades, helping individuals reach their financial goals. As a certified financial planner professional and a certified divorce financial analyst, she can help identify and develop a strategy to help you through the critical financial events you may experience. Call her at 512-302-5534 or visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com. When your values are clear, your decisions are easy. Again, visit AustinWealthSpecialists.com or call Darlene today at 512-302-5534.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. To reach Darlene Gilmore or her guest today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to Darlene at women-b-wise.com. And remember, it's the letter B. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Darlene Gilmore again, host of Women Be Wise. And our guest today is Courtney Clark. She is the author of The Giving Prescription, A Personal Plan for Healing Through Helping. And Courtney has an awesome testimony, if you will. I mean, she's had cancer, melanoma, and then she had a brain aneurysm. And she was able to bounce back from all of those and become an author and a speaker and a trainer. And one of the things that we talked about in the previous segment was post-traumatic growth, that you can take whatever happens to you in your life and move to the next level. And we think we'll end this last segment talking about what things that you can do to get started on this giving prescription, how you can start being one of those people that will benefit from learning how to give your time, treasure, and talent. So, Courtney, let's start out with what would be a good first step?
So I break it down in the giving prescription into three steps. The first is understanding your expectations. Sometimes your expectations may need to be tempered when you're looking at giving back. There's a story in the book about a woman who was herself a client of a major nonprofit, and then she went to volunteer. She loved the nonprofit. She loved the volunteers that helped her in her time of need. She bonded to them deeply, and she couldn't wait to get started giving back to other people in the same way. And she expected that that very first day when she went out to help a client, that they were going to feel about her the same way that she felt about those volunteers who showed up for her in her time of need. Needless to say, that didn't happen. And the person that she went out to help was very resistant to her help, was angry. It was a crisis moment. And that person lashed out, wasn't loving like this woman herself had been and embracing. And so her expectations were off. So manage your expectations. If you're volunteering or giving for the first time, you may not know what to expect, so don't try and put expectations around it. And do listen if you're being trained. For example, a lot of nonprofits will train volunteers, or they'll give donors some information before you get involved. Listen and pay attention, and just try to temper your expectations, because that's going to help you have the most successful experience if you go in with an open mind.
I think that's an idea that should be used throughout your entire life. I think so many people get themselves in a tizzy, or they get frustrated because they don't manage their expectations of what they expect of their employees or their employer or their spouse or their best friend. So that in itself is something that we could use in wherever we are in our lives.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a very good point. And when you apply it to what we're talking about today, if you don't have managed expectations, you're probably going to be let down, and then that's going to mean you're not going to get the benefits out of it that you're looking for.
So once you know you have that, then we need to kind of decide where you're going to go, what you're going to do.
Exactly right. So the second step I call making the right match. And that's determining not just what type of organization. So for me, it might be obvious to say, oh, she would get involved in a cancer organization. And that's true, but cancer organizations have different focuses. Some are more research-based, some are more psychosocial support-based. Some are huge organizations that have been around for 50 years, and some are smaller and newer. I like to come up with good ideas and be more innovative, so I like to work for an organization that allows me to do that. If you just join an organization because it's a cancer organization and you don't pay attention to the type of work they do or the ways they do their work and the ways the decisions get made, you're going to end up frustrated. So making the right match for yourself involves not just finding an area that you're passionate about, but also knowing yourself enough to know, these are the ways of working that I like to do. I like to work with a big group of people versus I like to work on my own. You have to know those things about yourself to make the right match.
And I think would it benefit as well if they look around the people that they socialize with and they network with, because usually birds of a feather flock together. That's and maybe right. Start there by asking them what type of volunteering work they're doing, and find out, first of all, if they're doing it. And then second, if they are, where they're going. And then that can give you a starting point, because the world is huge in terms of where you can volunteer. So that's you need to exactly do a little right. bit of legwork such as that first before you start on your trek of trying to select someplace.
Exactly. And then after you do that, that's when you start to see if you can make a match between what we talked about before, your time, talent, and treasure. Look at that pie chart of what you have to give. Do you have more time but not a lot of treasure? Or do you have a really unique talent in something but you don't actually want to give of that talent because you're like, hey, I do that 55 hours a work week. I don't want to use my skills as an attorney in my volunteer work. You need to know that about yourself. So this is where you evaluate your time, talent, and treasure, and you decide on what percentage, what does that pie chart look like? How much is going to be time versus how much is going to be talent? How much is going to be treasure? And then find a nonprofit that means that mix where you can plug in.
That's good. And the other thing I was just thinking about is, you know, a lot of the large organizations offer to the employees to have the payroll deduct to go to charities. That seems so uninvolved, because some people are just having, you know, $20 a month go somewhere, and they feel like they're doing their portion of charitable giving. I don't want to knock it. I want to encourage it. But here we're talking about something that's more tangible, something that's more personal and close to you. So you want to be able to know the charity that you're donating to. And if you can give a little bit of time, give that time so you can get more familiar with the people involved with the charity.
Well, yeah, when you give through like an Emeritus charity or other payroll deductions, the nonprofit is certainly getting the benefit. They are very appreciative of that. But you're not getting the benefit because you're so uninvolved. A phrase has been coined recently called slacktivism. That's the thing where you pass around the video and you dump an ice bucket on your head for the ALS challenge. That happened last year. You're not really doing much. You're not getting involved. You're not getting engaged. You're helping. You're promoting a cause that needs to be more heavily known, but you're not going to get those benefits that we were talking about today because you're not really doing very much. It's passing through your hands for a brief moment in time, but you're not investing in it. And that's how you can manage your giving, your philanthropy, like a business. Because just like in a business, when you invest in something, you're going to get a return on that investment. Or you could just give some money away, and that's okay. I mean, people like businesses who don't necessarily, you know, who might give some money away, but a really successful business is going to invest. They're going to invest their money. They're going to invest in their people. And if you really want to get the benefit of philanthropy, you're going to manage it like a business. In fact, I know a lot of small business owners who have philanthropy as a portion of their business, and they treat it like it's an arm of their business. And even if you don't have your own business, you can think of it that way. What am I passionate about? What do I want to invest my money in and watch it grow? How will that benefit me? How will it benefit my community? How will it benefit me and my community together? And that's where it starts to get really powerful, rather than just, oh, here's some $10 and I'm going to give it to you.
Right. So we'll have $10 to end there, Courtney. So I wanted to make sure that people knew how to get in touch with you. It's Courtney Clark. And don't forget the title of her book, The Giving Prescription, A Personal Plan for Healing Through Helping. But you can get look at her website, www.courtney, that's CourtneyLClark.com. Or you can email her at Courtney@CourtneyLClark.com. And she is a public speaker. She can come to your company. She's an author, as we've mentioned, and she's a trainer to help those companies build resilience. So get in touch with her. Is there anything else you wanted to say about your business as a close? We've got about 20 seconds left.
I just love working with people who want to be resilient and build resilience because I know we all face struggle.
Thank you so much. So thank you, Courtney, for being on the show. We may have to have you back. Looks like we've kind of left some stuff out maybe. So we'll consider having you back on the show and we can just expand even further about what you talk about. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Women Be Wise today. This is Darlene Gilmore, your host for the program. Thanks and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to Women Be Wise, helping women gain financial empowerment. Be sure to join Darlene Gilmore again next Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a super week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.